Coming up on today's Locked On Senators, we're recapping last night's 2-1 loss to the Boston Bruins in a game where the Sens fought until the final second.
And it's officially Tyler Cleven watch. His season may be done with Nodak, but when will he sign, or will he sign, with the Ottawa Senators?
Is it time to get nervous? We'll get into all that. Look ahead to the weekend coming up for the Belleville Senators. It's all brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started today. It's the official sportsbook of Locked On, and this is the Locked On Senators podcast. Your team, every day.
Your Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 761 of the Locked On Senators Podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains. Please like and subscribe to all the videos and on your audio feeds as well, and YouTube. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd, and Pilsy, that was a bit of a surprise. Dylan Ferguson didn't even dress in last night's game. Last time we did a show, we were talking about him starting.
Ross, I was shocked when they panned to the bench and Mando was there. I was like, Mando, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Belleville. Where's Fergie? But I missed the note that Ferguson was out with a non-COVID-related illness. So it's going to be interesting. The plan was, Ross, to have Ferguson start tomorrow night up against Tampa in Ottawa. So we'll see if that remains the plan. And we're hoping that he has a recovery from his whatever illness he has.
Yeah, they called it a minor illness, so I don't think I'm too worried about whether or not he's going to be in the lineup. I think that was more a fact that, hey, look, Belleville had the day off yesterday. Why not just get Mando up? Give him a day NHL per diem. Why not?
Give Dylan Ferguson
the night off after he stonewalled the Pittsburgh Penguins 48 saves to get his first win. Now, the irony is the Senators' worst game in their last three, they've got a 1-1-1 record right now, was the win. That was their worst performance, and they Definitely. Get the win. Last night, I thought they went toe-to-toe with the Boston Bruins. If anything, I think they carried the play for the most of it.
Yeah, especially the first two periods, Ross. Like, the first 40 minutes, the Ottawa Senators were dominating. I mean, looking at the shots here, the Ottawa Senators had 37 shots to the Boston Bruins, 26. And then in the third period, they're only able to get four shots up against the Boston Bruins. And they have a bit of a push at the end, but it's too little too late there. So it is very weird how when the Ottawa Senators played their best over this stretch, they weren't able to come up with a win. And when they played their worst, a guy who's starting in his first ever NHL game, he gets them the win. Like, hockey is a strange game sometimes.
Certainly wasn't the fault of Mads Søgaard. Finished the game with 22 consecutive saves. All three goals in this game were in the span of 8 minutes in the first period, and then zeros after that. A hashtag goalie-friendly show can appreciate that. Linus Ullmark was incredible for the Bruins. Made some huge saves, even after a couple miscues early. I thought that Timmy had a tap-in after he gave it to Giroux. It was almost like that Cam Talbot goal against, was it New Year's Eve against Detroit, where he just like fumbled the puck and gave it right to the attacking player. Similar situation, but with Giroux being a right shot, he had to pivot his body before he could move it over to Stützle, and Ullmark had enough time. But I thought that would have made it 1 or 2-0 at that point. I think it would have been the first. But even still, like, I mean, Ottawa does score first in this game, but ultimately that's an unreal team they're playing against.
I mean, the Boston Bruins, this might be the greatest team we've seen in decades, Ross. Like, it's insane how good this team has been and is, even with key players out of the lineup here. But I like, either way, Ross, like, this is a 2-1 game. Every chance had a big opportunity to blow this game open for the Ottawa Senators, especially if they were able to jump to a 2-0 lead somehow in this game. That would have been massive for them. But the Bruins are just so good. Like, neither of those goals you can really fault Søgaard for. And kind of his downfall in this recent stretch for Mads Søgaard has been just getting beat cleanly. Like, you understand he's a young goalie. It's the NHL. Guys have good shots, but you can't be getting beat cleanly like Mads Søgaard has been. And he really stepped up last night. And the only two goals were kind of, it was a backdoor tap in off a rebound that Søgaard actually almost gets on Krejci. And then the second goal by DeBrusk, that was a bang bang play where Sogard's right there. DeBrusk just sneaks in around him.
And just so much speed on Jake DeBrusk on that one. I was looking back at the, the blue line to see if it was offside, but not even really that close. And DeBrusk able to just go beeline right to the net backhand and put it out the outstretched leg of Mads Søgaard. The last goal Mads ended up giving up in the game, I thought he was fantastic. You think he earned the start on Thursday, or would you stay with Dylan Ferguson at this point?
To answer your question, I think he earned it, but I think I would still go with Ferguson here just because there's no reason to really be riding Mads Søgaard right now. Like, I think you want to keep both guys fresh. Ferguson still, I think, can ride off that confidence of that great game he had on Monday night. And Søgaard, we've been talking, Ross, like, there's been a couple times during the stretch that he's been looked at by the athletic trainer and the medical staff of the Ottawa Senators. So maybe he's not at 100% right now. And if he's not at 100%, I don't want him being trotted out for 2-3 games in a row here. So I wouldn't mind if they went back to Ferguson.
Shout out, the Søgaard clan is coming up for the game. So he's either got to get in on Thursday or Monday. That's where I'm drawing the line here. And yep, Monday could be a huge game.
Get him in Monday.
It could be the final Mufasa paw off the ledge, where the Florida Panthers, who currently hold the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, are coming to Ottawa. It's going to be a great game. Remember the atmosphere last season at the end of the year when it was Florida-Ottawa? And it wasn't even playoff implications, but it was such a hard-fought battle. I think it ended up being 2-0 plus an empty netter. Remember Giroux was saying that was the game where he saw this young team. He said, they're fighting. I want to go play for them. And now we've got a better storyline with both teams still in the mix. Take it how you will, just how much each team is in the mix. But now you got the Tkachuks going head-to-head and all sorts of storylines coming next Monday. We had a great storyline coming out of last night's game, or should I say Monday's game. These back-to-backs, I mean, sometimes they feel like one long game. Sure. Especially both teams wearing black, white, and yellow. Like, come on, give me a little bit of ease on the eyes. But no, all seriousness, we had Dylan Ferguson's mental skills coach on yesterday as a little bonus on YouTube and on your audio podcast feed. So I definitely think it's worth checking out, Pilsy. What was your favorite takeaway from that one?
My favorite takeaway, Ross, was just the way Pete is able to kind of make looking at the mental part of your game seem normal. Like, take away the stigma of it, of people being like, oh, wow, you're focusing so much on your... It's like mental health, right? When people are working on their mental health, sometimes people are like, wow, there must be some real issues if you're that focused on your mental health. Like, what's going on with you or anything like that, which is so crazy. Like, no matter who you are, no matter what job you do, your mental health is very important and can be a big reason why you're succeeding or failing, no matter what your job is. So I just like the way that he kind of made it normal to be like, okay, here's all the mental exercises we're going to work on. We're going to work on visualization. Yeah, maybe you think it's a little corny that I printed out a life-size cutout of you photoshopped onto Freddie Anderson's body wearing a Leafs jersey. But it's those types of exercises that you see that photo of you in a Leafs jersey every day, and it becomes more and more real, instead of being like, oh, wow, imagine what it would be like if I was wearing a Leafs jersey. You're like, no, I've seen that. Or, yeah, I mean, it was tough that it's a Leafs example, but you don't have to be like, imagine what that's like. You're like, no, I've seen that every day. Like, I literally can visualize myself in that position. So I think if anyone is curious about kind of going behind the mask and in between the ears of goalies, you got to pay attention to our Pete Fry interview. And Ross, we already said it, 100% we're getting him back on the show, because I think we could pick his brain for about an hour, and I think it'd be a great conversation.
He's going to be our mental skills coach by the end of it.
Hey, I could use one of those, not going to lie.
Yeah, no question. I love the comments pouring in, Tom and at Leems Marsh, and both saying, man, I need this guy for my golf game. Hey,
yeah,
My favorite was he used the term concentration calories. We'll be sprinkling that into the show for sure. But coming up next, we'll take a look at the playoff picture and what's going on down in Belleville. And is it time to worry about Tyler Cleven not being signed yet by the Ottawa Senators? That's all coming up. You're listening to Locked On Senators.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Guys, they are the number one sportsbook in America. They are the trusted sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. Why would you go to any other sportsbook when you can have the best? So go to FanDuel because they are the best. And right now, if you're a new customer, I don't think you're going to find a better deal anywhere. And if you do, that would be impressive because new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. Most places it's $100, maybe $200. I've seen $500 max, but once you start getting into $1,000, that is a huge opportunity. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I love it. It's safe, secure, simple. It's the app I use every time I'm looking to get some action in on the game, whether it's Sens games, basketball, football, any other hockey, baseball's coming up. You can find it at the FanDuel app. So go to the FanDuel app. Check out the No Sweat First Bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook of the NBA.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Shawarma Palace. You know how much we love our friends at Shawarma Palace. We love them so much, we consider them family. And when you have family, you have to know where all their homes are. And there's a new home for Shawarma Palace, and it's at the Saint Laurent Shopping Center. Same great food, same large portions, and it's available for you in the East End at the Saint Laurent Shopping Center. If you want to go further east, you can also find Shawarma Palace in Orleans. You can find them downtown at multiple locations. You can find them at Bank and Gladstone right by Baseball Town there. You can also find them closer to Parliament on Bank Street as well as in, or sorry, should I say Hunt Club, Bank and Hunt Club, and also Rideau Street right by Chapel Augusta, that area right there. That's the OG store. That's where you'll find us always. Go in, see your friends at Shawarma Palace, get the platter, get the sandwich, whatever you get. I always make sure there's extra garlic on there. Pilsy loves his wrap, and man, I am craving one right now. So head there, run. Don't walk to Shawarma Palace. Sens game days taste better with Shawarma Palace, and if you're ordering right before puck drop, just use Uber Eats. You can go over there at Uber Eats Shawarma Palace. Go see them today. Shawarma Palace, eat like a royal at Shawarma Palace. All right, Pilsy. Seeing a lot of discourse this morning.
Discourse?
That was started by our friend, Sens Central citizen, Steve On Sens. What the heck's going on with Lassie Thompson and Jacob Bernard Docker? I think that's a pretty fair question. Yeah. Now that Jacob Chychrun's in the mix, and we spoke at length in the postcast about what we think about his game so far, 11 in to his Senators career, does that change where you're at with JBD or Lassie Thompson?
I mean, a little bit, Ross, not going to lie, because what was the number one thing, the biggest discussion for the Ottawa Senators this year? It's how are they going to fix the decor? And we had multiple discussions about, are they going to be able to do this externally through a trade or a free agent, or is it going to have to happen internally? And Ross, I'm pretty sure there was a couple times, especially when the Jake Chychrun trade asking price included Shane Pinto or Ridley Gregg, I was like, okay, that's too much. I'm kind of off the external option. All the other options are getting moved here. So I think the Sens need to start looking internally at Lassie Thompson and Jacob Bernard Docker as two guys that could potentially try to help this decor improve. And we haven't seen or heard, especially JBD, as a, especially kind of the lights and spotlight on him has kind of dimmed down a bit here, but we haven't heard a lot about these two getting an opportunity to come back up into the NHL. But Lassie Thompson has been stepping up lately, especially offensively, Ross. We've seen him, the Tom Bomb has been blasting off down in Belleville. But what's your opinion on where these guys are, and how do you kind of view them as pieces of the puzzle to this Ottawa Senators franchise in the future?
It's a great question. And if you look at just the counting stats, I think you look at Lassie and say, okay, offensively, he's starting to come around. Like each year he's been in the AHL, he's put up better numbers from 13 points in 35 games to 26 in 44. And now he's got 29 in 46. So similar, sure, but in the last two seasons. But I think there is a step that could be had for him. When you look at Jacob Bernard-Docker, points don't really matter. It's how strong is he going to end up being in front of his own net? How well will he be able to clear bodies? Can he get a little more physical? Because right now he's got great gap control. He just defends with his stick. Like, he's not going to be the type of punishing defenseman who's going to run you into the boards or be able to control physically in front of the net. It seems like, at least from now, and again, they're still young, they're 22, but the reason why this is an important conversation that I'm sure will continue over the summer is that they both need waivers next year. So what are you going to do? Put first round picks on waivers, guys that you've had in your system, you've used concentration calories to be able to get these guys to a point where you think they're going to help the team? I'm confused, concerned, you pick your adjective, but I don't think they're banging on the door as much as maybe you would hope they are at this point, because, you know, you go out and you get your guys. And right now, like, who would you rather on the third pair next year? Jacob Bernard-Docker, Lassie Thompson, or Travis Hamonic?
Probably Hamonic.
Me too.
Contract depending. But yes, you make a good point, Ross. And that's the thing. Like, thinking back on it, it's actually shocking that neither Bernard-Docker or Lassie Thompson were included in the Chychrun trade, right? Like, you think that would be something where Pierre Dorion's going, okay, I'm bringing in a defenseman. I've got both of these defensemen, Lassie Thompson and JBD, that are going to need waivers next year. There's only so much room here. Like, you've already got, now with Chychrun in the mix, you've got most of your decor figured out here, especially if they decide to extend Eric Branstrom, which I believe they will. He's a restricted free agent. He's going to stick around at least for the short term. So it's going to be very interesting to see if either of these guys kind of knocks on the door and busts it down, Ross, because as far as I'm concerned, there's only room for one of them now. I think before you could make an argument that maybe if JBD works out to be a good partner for Thomas Chabot, then Lassie Thompson can be a third pair defenseman. But now with Chychrun here, especially two more years at a nice contract, there's not a whole lot of room on that decor.
And the X factor in all this is what could potentially be or not be with Tyler Cleven. It's now been almost a week. It's been 5 days since he was eliminated, and we've seen decisions in both directions. Reese Gaber is going to go back for a fifth year. He was a guy who I think Sens fans were like, oh, sign Gaber. 5'7", but man, he can shoot the puck. Okay, he's decided good to go back to school. Mark Sendin, albeit he's done his 5 years, so you knew he was moving on, but now news is coming out. Like, he signed a PTO with the Charlotte Checkers, joining his former Nodak Sens teammate, Matt Kierstead, their former D partner of JBD. They're both in Charlotte there, but you look at it, like, decisions are being made. What's the holdup with Tyler Cleven? And not to put my tinfoil hat on, but you see some things on social media that make you think. I'm giving it until tomorrow. I said that to end the postcast. If he's not signed by tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central Time, Nodak Time, I'm gonna start being worried that he's gonna go back. And I mean, you look at it, $92,000 signing bonus. The opportunity to play for the team that drafted you, where the GM clearly has an affinity for you. The guy wants to adopt you.
That's so insane to say out loud. Like, show me any other time in professional sports where a manager has come out publicly and it's not a misquote. It's not a TSN 1200 misquote. It's not anything like that. He literally said, I would adopt him. Like, that is...
The only thing that's on that level is on the eighth day, God created Erik Karlsson. Who said that?
Same guy. That's our guy, Pierre. He's always good for a good quote. But yeah.
Sorry, just the other side of it. So those are the pros.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yep.
The other side of it is that family bleeds North Dakota. Mm-hmm. They love it. The stepmom, the dad, like, they live like an hour and a half away from the rink. Like, it's the Ralph. It's got a little magic to it. Like, I could see why a kid who's being treated like gold in his home state wants to stay and play as long there as possible. Those are years you never get back.
Especially, Ross, put the asterisks on. those are college COVID years where you don't really get the proper college experience. So I think that's something that a lot of players in college have taken note of and made it public, being like, look, I want more of the experience I thought I was going to get, not to the fault of the colleges or universities, just the way the pandemic ended up shaking out. So it's very interesting with Tyler Kleven. And Ross, at first I was like, okay, you know what? I would love to see Tyler sign and come pro. That'd be great. But another year of college isn't the worst idea. You're going back to Nodak. Like you said, he likes it there, so that's fine. And then, but I completely kind of blanked on this, and you were quick to tell me the big issue with him not signing and going back for another year is the Sens won't have his rights after that. And then he's free to sign wherever he wants. And look, I don't care what people say about Tyler Kleven online. I can pretty much, I'd be very certain that there's a bunch of GMs in the league that would love an opportunity to try to get a Tyler Kleven on their roster. So him having the choice and the ability to not be have his rights only owned by the Ottawa Senators, that could turn into an interesting situation. So yeah, it is time to start getting nervous, Ross. Yes.
No, I'm not getting nervous. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Time, I'll start getting nervous. But
okay, yeah, you don't sound nervous.
No, I'm definitely not nervous. Definitely not nervous. No. But it also would reflect so poorly on Pierre Dorion, because yes, he made it clear the whole reason the adoption thing, all that came up, was because he said that Tyler Kleven was an untouchable in the Chychrun trade. If you go from untouchable to just losing their rights for nothing, would that have swapped out the first round pick? Right? Like, what kind of value would Kleven have had in that trade? And then ultimately you get nothing. Like, that's the Cody Ceci value chart, going from a one for one for Taylor Hall to being moved for Nikita Zaitsev with the sweetener of Connor Brown. Like, you cannot come out publicly and say we would not include him in a trade that you end up giving three assets for, and then lose him less than 2 months later for absolutely nothing. Because if he announces he's going back to school, he's never going to play for the Ottawa Senators. I promise you that.
Well, it would just be weird. Like, why wouldn't you sign when the opportunity is there if that's where you want to be, right? So it just would raise a lot of questions. And I don't know, because this is a guy that I think everyone has kind of in their mind put on the third pair of the Ottawa Senators in the future. Like, a third pair of Branstrom and Kleven, I think, would just be incredible. And he's the type of defenseman that this team needs. And I think he would fit in perfectly with where this team is at and where they're trying to go. Now, how ready would he be to jump into an NHL role? Maybe it would take a year, but that's fine. There's no insane rush on that. But it is very interesting, Ross. I think both of us thought that this would get cleaned up a little bit sooner.
Final note on this one, and shout out to Bruce Garriock with the Ottawa Sun, mentioning, or in his article, he spoke to Shane Pinto after Saturday. It's Saturday morning before the game against the Leafs. And this is actually probably a quote that will help Sens fans breathe a sigh of relief. The exact quote: "You've got to take a bit of time. It's so overwhelming. Everything comes at you so quick. The Sens did a good job with me where they gave me a couple days to relax and enjoy my time with my teammates and talk with my family. It's a huge decision. It sounds cliche, but you have to look at all your options. Whatever is right for him, he's going to make the right decision himself. I'm going to reach out to him and say there's no pressure. Take your time and make the best decision for yourself." So again, maybe on that note, it's time is of the essence, and patience is a virtue here, as you can kind of need to breathe after going day in, day out all season long. But I don't think it hurts that Sanderson and Pinto, and to a lesser extent JBD, who's kind of in Belleville right now, can be like, hey, we could use you. We could use your type of player on our team.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention, especially, Ross, when you're going into a scenario where all your college buddies are there. Like, if this was a kind of like a foreign franchise where you don't know anyone or you don't know much about them, and maybe that makes it a little bit more difficult. And especially, Ross, they traded up to get this guy. Like, they really pushed a lot of investments. They've put a lot of concentration calories into Tyler Kleven here. So yeah, it's a good one. We're going to keep that one here. Shout out Pete Fry. But it's just, it seems like this would be such a good landing spot for Tyler. But then you start thinking, yeah, it's great for Pinto and Sanderson, but maybe he's looking at what's happening with JBD and being like, well, JBD is already so much ahead of me and it hasn't really worked out for him. Maybe that's something that he doesn't like, the development path there. And I'm just spitballing here. This is not at all fact, or I haven't heard this from anyone. I'm just kind of coming up with stuff like, why isn't this done? Maybe that's a factor.
I will be sniffing around my Nodak sources, trying to get an answer for the good people here, but deep breath. Tomorrow, 5 p.m., we can start getting nervous here with Tyler Cleven, hopefully signing his entry-level contract sooner rather than later. Coming up on the other side, we said we'd look at the out-of-town scores, we'd look at the standings, and more. You're listening to Locked On Senators.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Indeed. Guys, if you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. You don't need to bounce around from different websites, schedule a meeting here, reply to an email here. No, you'll get it all done on Indeed. It's the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. So you're not sifting through hours of candidates that don't match what you're looking for. You'll find the ones with the right skills, and you need a hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you every step of the hiring process. They make it easy, and with instant match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description. It happens that quick. So the ball gets rolling right away, and you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked on. That offer is valid through March 31st. So get on it. It's the time is running short. So go to Indeed.com/locked on to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Guys, you have to check out Indeed. They are the top spot to hire the right employees for your job. Check out Indeed today, guys.
All right, Pilsy. Gotta let the music run here. Make sure everybody's able to take a deep breath after that spooky conversation.
We're good. We're good.
The subconscious, right? What was that? The alpha subconscious in the morning?
Yeah. Okay. Go on.
You need to make sure that you're putting positive thoughts in your head.
Yeah. Positive Pilsy.
Positive thoughts. The Senators have drafted out of North Dakota about 5-6 times, and all of them have signed. That's the spin zone I'm putting on here.
Johnny Tychonic is the outlier.
No. They don't claim him. Watch the highlights when he went back to North Dakota with Omaha.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They were giving it to him. All right, so you look at the Florida Panthers, 2 meetings against the Ottawa Senators, 3 meetings against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So go Team Ontario when they're playing against the Cats. But if you're looking at the NHL schedule tonight, Sens fans, you are the biggest Colorado Avalanche fan in the world. They're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. Always a great game to watch anyways, because you get McKinnon, the mix get mixed up there. McKinnon against Sidney Crosby. Obviously, they have their relationship that goes way back, but they always bring the best out of each other as well. Now, a reason for confidence, you've got a movable force meets an irresistible object, and that's definitely a wrong line, but the Avalanche come in winners of 6 in a row.
Do you want the proper line?
Yeah,
usually sure. I'm the one that's messing these up, Ross, so this is nice for me to come in and save the day. Immovable force meets an unmovable object.
Okay. Well, I wanted it to be a movable object. I wanted
Or is it an unstoppable force? Yeah, an unstoppable... Of course, I mess it up when I try to teach you. An unstoppable force meets an immovable object. So it's like when the knuckle hits the pavement.
You got it. There you go. But I wanted it to be a movable object because the Pittsburgh Penguins have lost 4 games in a row. They're hosting the Avalanche, winners of 6 straight. The Avalanche, and we saw them, the third of their 6-game win streak right here was against the Senators, their 4th. They have outscored their opponents 28-12 over their last 6 games. They're coming off a 5-0 and 5-1 victory against Detroit and Chicago, 5-4 against Ottawa. So they've scored 15 goals in their last three games. Very
good. That team is on a roll right now. So if we're going to be cheering for a team, at least it's the defending Stanley Cup champions that are doing well. And Ross, I believe Gabe Landeskog has started skating. So he's not going to be with the team anytime soon, but he's on the road back. So that's huge for the Avalanche to get their captain back.
Yeah, that is big. He hasn't played at all this year, still recovering from off-season surgery. So if we pull up the standings here, and it's so unfortunate, or is it allowing the Sens to hang on? I guess it depends which way you look at it. The fact that every night where the Senators lose, it feels like everyone else in the
team yeah.
as well, right? The Panthers lost last night. The Penguins obviously still licking their wounds after the Sens smacked them around. / Dylan Ferguson. The Capitals ended up losing in overtime last night.
7-6 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was a barn burner, Ross.
And they were up 5-2.
Yeah.
And Buffalo has just hit the skids as well. So they're coming off a loss as well last night. So you're looking at it, and that means the Senators remain 6 points out with 11 games remaining. Okay, I think they still have that paw on because of the head-to-head matchups right now. They got the regulation win over Pittsburgh, and they'll have two more opportunities to go with the Florida Panthers. Now, the Islanders, they're out of the mix now. I think they may as well have clinched a playoff spot with their 7-2 win over Toronto last night. They're at 82 points, 9 points up, although the Sens do have a game in hand. But even still, that's not the team you're looking at. You're looking at the Florida Panthers right now. You're looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Those are the two teams that you need to set your sights on, and you need to win some hockey games. Ottawa has Tampa tomorrow, at New Jersey on Saturday, home to Florida next Monday. Those are crucial, crucial games, because then they can finally breathe. Right now, this is a wild stretch right now, Pilsen.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Not only in terms of the opponent and how quality these are, but this schedule is ridiculous.
Yeah, they have a tough, tough schedule. Their work is cut out for them, that's for sure. But
seven games in 11 days.
You know what, Ross? That's crazy. I would rather, though, they go up against these big, tough teams, because we've seen it. When they go up against lower competition recently, they just can't get it done. Whether it's a mindset thing, whether it's just a stroke of bad luck, I don't know. But I've liked all their games up against playoff contending teams much better than the games they've played up against teams that are out of it. So I'm going to work my spin zone magic and try to say that that's actually a good thing. And having two games up against the Florida Panthers where you really control your own destiny, I think is massive. So it's not going to be easy, but I think this actually could end up being a good thing for the Sens.
You got to win one of the next two, though, right? Before the Panthers game?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And then next Saturday, not this upcoming one at New Jersey, but the following Saturday, Hockey Night in Canada, Sens Leafs again. Always entertaining games.
Yeah.
You got to get 2 points this time. You got to.
I know. Really, yeah.
You can't keep letting points slip away. And that's the first half of back-to-back, and then you play Columbus, right? So that's kind of the reprieve in the schedule. They've got Philly next Thursday and then Columbus the following Sunday. But other than that, I mean, it's a murderer's row, but you got to beat the best to be among the best. And the Senators are learning one way or another. I think that the future is still super bright, and I think the fans understand that. It's a lot different feeling than when it was like, oh, the rebuild's over going into the COVID year. It's like, no, you can see the pieces, and there's still lots of great storylines we're going to be following over the next couple weeks. Tim Stützle, 40 goal watch, is on. He's only 5 goals away. Brady Tkachuk, is he going to be a point per game player in the National Hockey League? He's got 30 goals. Are you looking at Claude Giroux, 9 points away from 1,000 in his career? The continued development of the defense, Jake Sanderson, can he reach the heights of Wade Redden's rookie season? I believe it was 35 points, right, for him? He's at 29 right now. Can he get 6 more? So lots of fun storylines. Pills, you got final thoughts on today's episode?
Final thoughts for me is we'll kick it over to the Belleville aspect of things quickly here, Ross. And I'm looking at the standings right now. Maybe you can pull that up for the good people watching on YouTube. But for those listening, Belleville is currently in 5th place in the North Division, 2 points back of Rochester, but the one game, or Rochester had three games in hand. Now they only have two games in hand, and it's only a 2 point spread. So this is going to come right down to the wire. And the Belleville Senators, their next game is up against the Bridgeport Islanders. That's a team that, if you look at the division standings, it looks like they're down there, but they actually have more points than the Belleville Senators. And then this is going to be tough for us. Their next game is up against the Milwaukee Admirals, which, if you can see on YouTube, that's one of the best teams in the entire American Hockey League, as they're second in their division with 75 points. So just like the Ottawa Senators, the Belleville Senators have a tough schedule stretch here as well.
Yeah, they do. Milwaukee's got Yaroslav Askarov, the goalie. Yeah. Some people were thinking, hey, fifth overall, you want to take Askarov? I mean, he catches with the wrong hand, but outside of that, great goalie, and he's starting to come into his own in North America as well.
And
but
we got Fergie, so we didn't need to use that draft capital.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what? I want to give credit, but saw it on Twitter. Someone saying that, you know what? Let's just consider Dylan Ferguson the future considerations we get for Matt Murray.
Yeah, yeah. That's essentially how it worked, yeah.
I like that. I also like that Rochester lost their game in hand, one of them. So now let's continue on with that path. And hey, maybe JBD or Lassie can blow up here at the end of the season, help make sure that Belleville has a run to the postseason. And then, hey, they'll make us look stupid for our conversation earlier in this show. Won't be the first time, won't be the last time, but we can't wait to see you next time here on Locked On Senators. For today, we say goodbye. Again, go check out that bonus interview from yesterday. We had a ton of fun doing it. And the last two episodes, although the titles are just on the game itself, lots of great conversations in there. So don't be hesitant to go back and check those out on your favorite audio podcast platforms and on YouTube. Final thoughts for me, it'd be really nice to get some five-star reviews. So if you don't mind going, click five stars, just put Zoob, put anything. We've got so many five-star reviews that just say Zoob. Hilarious. We love it. But it does help the algorithm and helps us out quite a bit. Want to thank everyone who joins us in the postcast. We'll be back with that tomorrow after the game. But we'll chat with Mark Mathot tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. For today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast. Your team every day.